This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast with Justin Labar, Jonathan Hood with you. Justin, the AEW champion, Samoa Joe will take on Swerve Strickland in the main event of AEW Dynasty.
It's a big match. It should be the main event, and I think there's a lot at stake here for both men about where they go after this.
Rhea Ripley is injured. How do we look at the women's division in WWE now?
It sucks that Mommy's gone missing for a little while, but long term, this might have some positive effects.
And broken Matt Hardy has reappeared, now a part of TNA.
Wonderful.
Enjoy the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast.
Happy to welcome in, fresh off of his TNA Rebellion appearance, the one and the only Matt Hardy. Matt, thank you for coming on with us.
It's very good to be here. Thank you guys for having me, Justin and Jonathan. It's very exciting. Last night was a very cool moment. I am very grateful that I was given that opportunity, and it was a lot of fun. And I want to say thank you to the great turnout that was in Las Vegas last night attending TNA Rebellion, because they showed me lots and lots and lots of love, and I appreciate that. As I said from day one, without the fan base, without the people that love Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and the Hardys, there would be no us. So thank you for still supporting me three decades in.
So Matt, it's more than just love, and I want to start here with you because, you know, being in Chicago, with Justin being in Pittsburgh, when you or your brother or both of you come in, there's this like huge pop. Back in the day, it was the Road Warrior pop. If you can get that's a certain level. But, I mean, that can't get old for you, right? I mean, there's still this great appreciation for you. Have you got a chance to sit back and just take it all in? Like, every time you appear on camera, every time you come into an arena, every time you end up at a signing, that there's this big ovation for you. How does that make you feel internally?
I mean, great. I'm very grateful. I'm very humbled. I mean, this was my dream to be a pro wrestler and to do this on the highest level possible. And I've been able to do that for a very long time. And you were talking about just turnouts and whatnot. Like even last night, great reaction. You go back to WrestleMania 33, which was one of the coolest, definitely a top five moment for myself and my brother. And there was a fan at WrestleCon last week who just told me, he writes wrestling reports and whatnot, said after WrestleMania 33, he recoined the Road Warriors pop, the Hardys pop, which was so cool. It's funny that you kind of acknowledge that then. But we did WrestleCon. We were supposed to sign for 5 hours every day. Myself and my brother, we signed for at least 7 hours, sometimes more. It's just, it's crazy the love that people have for us and just the support. And it's generational, because we meet people that are fathers that watched us growing up when they were young teenagers. And now younger kids are watching stuff on the WWE network. And they're like, oh my God, the tag team ladder match, the table match, the TLC match. So to be able to transcend generations like that is really special.
All right, Matt. So you talked about on your podcast how your AEW contract was coming up, is expiring. But even still, huge surprise seeing you show up at the end of Rebellion. In a day and age of pro wrestling where it's hard to keep a secret, how did this all come together? How'd you pull this off?
Yeah, I mean, once again, as we said, like I spoke with AEW, and I will start and I will preference it by saying I love AEW. I loved working with Tony Khan. He's a great guy. You know, my contract ended up expiring, and, you know, we hadn't reached a deal yet, and we're still in the midst of talking. I have literally, in the last week, I have talked to every promoter from every promotion that there is. So last night was me showing that pro wrestling can still be unpredictable. You know, I popped up. This was done in a couple of days' notice. We kind of started talking about this on Wednesday. Then this is when it kind of materialized over a couple of days, doing some shots for TNA and a little story arc. Pro wrestling is at its best when it's unpredictable. And I went out last night. It's so funny. The host of my podcast, John Alba, said, like, you know, I'm not going to lie. He said, this son of a gun, he kayfabed me. Like, I didn't tell anyone. Like, my brother texted me this morning. It was late last night, and he goes to bed super early. He's like, oh, my God, that was great last night. He said, how'd it feel to be out there? He said, that was killer. You know, if you want to keep a secret, just keep a secret. Just go about your business and do your thing. And something that's very funny, I'm going to share this story. I told my wife, the only person that knew was my wife and my kids, right? So I got off the plane last night in Vegas, and I had shades, I had headphones, and I had this big hoodie I was going to wear, and they were going to pick me up and scoot me and take me right to the hotel. As soon as I stepped out of the jetway, there was a group of like four or five people said, "Oh my God, Matt Hardy, Hardy Boys, ho, can we take pictures? Can we take pictures?" I was like, "Oh my God, if this gets posted and it blows my cover right from stepping off the plane," I was like, "I can't believe I had to put the hoodie on in the plane." And you know, once again, Jeff and I, we've been gifted with so much TV time. We still get recognized constantly in public. And that's what's still cool. We still look somewhat like we did when we were younger and in our prime and whatnot. But it's really cool that the love pro wrestling fans have given us and that they still afford us to this day.
See, that's when you need to put like the mask on as if you're in the pandemic and just say, "Oh, I'm just had COVID, stay away." You know, you got to wear the mask. You can get away with it without looking like you're robbing a bank. Just put on a ski mask or
Right.
something.
Right. It's acceptable nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Matt Hardy with us here with Jonathan and Justin on the Sunday edition of Busted Open. Don't forget to check out the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, look for the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, available now. The latest episode of the State of AEW, you talked about that as well. So I want to get your thoughts about TNA. You know, it is the company that won't die. You've been there before, and it's still as hot as it has been in the past. I want to get your thoughts on the roster, on what AEW, TNA brings to the table today. What do you think?
I think TNA is trying to carve their own niche. I think they're being very smart with how they use talent. They'll bring guys in, they do a little run, then maybe they leave for a little while and they can come back, whatever. They have a core group of guys that they have locked in, and then they build around them, and then they kind of shuffle guys in and out, and that's very cool. And I was very happy to be a part of that. I watched the majority of the show last night, and we also did this, like, they put me in a room and I had a monitor, so I didn't even leave the room because I just didn't want anyone to text a dirt sheet or anything else, just so it didn't get out. Just trying to overly make my appearance unpredictable as possible. But I think it's a solid roster. I thought they put together a solid card, and I like the fact that they've been doing pretty solid old school storytelling in many, many ways. And I think this thing that I'm going to do with Moose and the system coming up over the next series, the next few weeks, I think it's going to be a very interesting series. And they also really lured me in when they, you know, offered like doing Broken Matt Hardy again. And they said, "We would love to do that." And also using some of House Hardy, you know, my wife, she's in great shape right now. She'd be up for wrestling a match, she told me. And, you know, once again, King Maxwell, Gothic Baby. And I feel like my wife could even utilize some of TNA stuff on, she's a social media influencer. She's huge on TikTok right now. I think she could even help boost the status and rep of TNA as well. So just selling my family and talking about a Hardy compound appearance, that's what sold me on these dates.
So that's what I was going to ask, Matt. We saw Broken Matt, first time we've seen Broken Matt in a little while. But you said that TNA approached you with the Broken Matt.
Well, we talked about it. We kind of came together on it. But I feel like Broken Matt was the way to go because TNA is in my DNA when it comes to Broken Matt. I mean, that is the genesis of Broken Matt. That gave me that opportunity. They allowed me to think outside the box and really go crazy and do something special. And they have a fan base that is very accepting of, you know, off the normal course of pro wrestling, which is cool. It's very different than the diehard base of AEW. They're obviously a lot more sports centric, a lot more wrestling based. So TNA is very fun for me to do. But once again, I don't have a lot of time left to do this, you know, a couple more years. We'll see. I feel good right now. I've been taking care of myself. I've had time off, but I don't want to squander the time I have left. I want to contribute as much as I can. And I want to submit my legacy, and hopefully myself and my brother's legacy is my goal. You know, so I want to land somewhere where I'm going to be able to contribute as much as possible. That is my goal. And why I can go, I want to go. And I want to make an impact in pro wrestling. I want to help the next generation and the younger guys too. That is definitely a goal of mine. So upon talking with TNA, Tommy Dreamer had reached out to me. We started talking about things. We started talking about Broken Matt that came in the conversation. I talked to some of the writers. They were talking about some ideas for the Hardy compound, some stuff to do with the system. And it was really appealing to me. And I was like, man, this would be fun, especially doing my off time, because once again, I'm not locked in anywhere. I'm not under contract. So I am not the type of individual that's going to sit at home waiting for the phone to ring. I'm going to go out and get it. That's what I do. I go out and seize opportunities. That's what makes Matt Hardy, Matt Hardy. And it's one of those things where it's 2024 and there's so many people on social media that love to go and, you know, talk trash about me or whoever else or someone that's been around for a while. But this run that I'm doing right now that I am engaging in is all about defying the non-believers, defying the critics, defying age, defying what is the normal status in pro wrestling, and I want to inspire people to defy the odds. Like, if there's something you want to do, you can set your mind to it and you can make it happen.
Matt Hardy with us here with Jonathan and Justin on the Sunday edition of Busted Open here on SiriusXM Fight Nation 156. So Matt, this is like the second or third time I've got a chance to talk to you. I would ask you, why does it matter for the critics? Because your legacy is cemented and you're still telling stories now that you're in TNA. Why does it matter for the outside noise? Because on Twitter, we could say, is the sky blue? And you can't get 100% of people to agree that the sky is blue.
Right. And that's a great question. And it doesn't matter. The critics don't matter. I say this all the time. The best thing about social media is it gives everyone a voice. The worst thing about social media is it gives everyone a voice, right? Yes. And the critics are going to be there. And once again, I just want to be an example of you don't have to listen. You don't have to subscribe to what people are saying online, especially people that don't know you. Because it is just basically their opinion and they don't have to be held accountable for it. The reason I am doing what I'm doing and inspiring people to defy is to prove all the people right that have supported me, that do want to see me, that are very happy to see Matt Hardy in action. And that is the people I do it for. And once again, I'm on this very positive mindset. No more interacting with, like, no more even being a heel online, interacting with the people that are trolls and like trying to shut them down or whatever. I only respond to positive feedback. You know, there's way too much negativity in the world in general. There's way too much division in the world in general. And my goal is to unite people, and my goal is to make people happy and put smiles on their faces and prove to the people that believe in me that I can still be their guy, that I can still go out and entertain them.
Yeah, good social media rules. If they don't have a picture of themselves so you can't identify these assholes, or if they don't have their real name, just don't even bother.
True. you know, there's a lot of times you'll see a result, especially once you become anyone with any notoriety. I mean, you've seen this, Justin. If you see someone that says something, a lot of times you'll look and like 3 followers, 8 followers, or whatever, you know, where they're just there to troll people. And it's where we're at right now in the game. And you just have to remember that social media does not reflect reality. And you just have to stick to your guns. You have to do your thing, and you have to just keep moving forward.
You just have to delete them.
You have to delete these trolls.
That's no question.
And I'm not opposed to doing that as well, because I feel like people that, if you look at like a Twitter or Instagram, social media in general as your virtual house, you wouldn't let someone come in your house and disrespect you and then keep coming back in your house over and over again. You would like kick them out and not let them back in. So, I mean, that's what blocking does whenever you're on Twitter, because it is your virtual house and protect your home, man.
So Matt, every Sunday at this time, we do Bust Open Confessions. And what mm-hmm. it is it's like for our wrestling fandom, we just say, hey, this is your safe space. Make sure that you just cleanse your wrestling sins. Whatever you have, something that you... Now, usually it's mistaken identity, right, Justin? We've had plenty of examples of Bust Open Confessions.
Well, the identity, or Matt, one I had also was I admitted everybody that I thought, I really swore that Lord Tensai was going to be the next great thing in WWE a decade ago, and I had to confess, yeah. that was my wrestling sin.
My wrestling sin was I thought that Johnny B. Badd was one of the great black wrestlers that we've seen in the profession, when he found out that he wasn't. So, as I found out as a kid. So, do you have a confession, Matt? Something that you never told anyone else before about your wrestling fandom?
Maybe I'll do this, and I don't think this is a bad thing either. Obviously, I'm the guy who does Broken Matt Hardy, and one thing I think you're going to see about Broken Matt Hardy during this run is that Broken Matt and Matt Hardy are one and the same. That's going to become a little more clear, because I feel like Matt Hardy, as a performer doing this for 32 years with the damage I've done to my body, is broken, and I feel like Broken Matt is also extreme. So we are like one in the same. And I think you'll start understanding that as time goes on with the story I'm hoping to tell. But considering I am the guy who does Broken Matt Hardy, when Papa Shango was around, I was a huge fan of Papa Shango. I love the stuff he did with The Undertaker, and even getting to know Godfather, Goodfather later, man, a great dude. It's so cool. He was at my house and we did the House Hardy Halloween episode where he actually went to the lake and he came back out as Papa Shango, which was one of the greatest things ever come out of the Lake of Reincarnation. But I would have been okay if Papa Shango would have become the world champion. because I loved him so much. You know what I mean? And I know there's a lot of people that would look at that and go like, oh my God, that's terrible. He's not a great wrestler. He doesn't put on 5-star matches or bangers or whatever. Like, he was the coolest character ever. And at the end of the day, we can't forget that this is entertainment. I mean, sure, we're athletes going out there beating each other up really bad, but we are entertainers when it's all said and done at the end of the day.
So it's a safe space.
That's a great confession.
Yeah. Shango, heavyweight champion on top.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you got to do it on Sunday, Matt. That's how we do it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. On the Sabbath. You have exactly to do it on the Sabbath, guys. That's
right. So, Matt, lastly, the last thing for me is, what do you want to tell the fans about you now being part of TNA and what Broken Matt Hardy is going to be all about here?
Well, the first thing I would like to say is they are recording TV tonight, and I will be there. I will be kicking off the show this Thursday, and you'll be hearing from Broken Matt and find out what the inspiration is for Damascus showing up unexpectedly and dropping Moose. You know, Moose was in for a very unfortunate twist of fate. And I think you're going to find that Broken Matt Hardy is planning to eat and delete Moose when it's all said and done. And he wants to claim the championship of the world in the wrestling that is total and nonstop.
Okay.
Awesome.
Hey, we're glad you spent some time with us here on Busted Open, Matt. All the best moving forward.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it's going to be fun. Like, I've obviously had a lot of people reaching out to me, but, once again, this, free agent status is a lot of fun. And this is something that is tailor-made for a guy like me. Like, you literally never know. I could show up anywhere at any time and surprise people. And I want to be unpredictable. I plan on being kayfabe in the year 2024 and surprising people, making wrestling unpredictable. That's when it's at its best.
Well, every time you show up somewhere, studio is open for you. You're always welcome to drop in.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
The Busted Open podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpen. Open podcast. Subscribe right now.
Samoa Joe is the AEW champion. Okay, so he defeats MJF, and Samoa Joe has been kept special. You don't see him roll out there every other week wrestling. We have seen him wrestle from time to time. I really like Samoa Joe as champion. I feel like he's respected by the wrestling community because of everything that he's done. Whether it's from the Indies or the ROH and WWE for a brief spell, and now as AEW World Champion. But I'd like to see something that's next level with Samoa Joe. And I think we've seen it from time to time here and there. But I don't want Samoa Joe to be in a position, Justin, where the championship's making him. I want him to be able to firmly cement himself, if he's going to continue on as champion, as to being the guy. Like, you got to go through him. I know AEW's got so many different storylines and so many different wrestlers and all these different shows, but ultimately the centerpiece should be everyone talking about how I want to beat that guy. Every other promo on the male side should be like, you know what? I know I've got this storyline, you know, Jericho or Hook or Roderick Strong or some of these other guys, but ultimately they should be talking a lot more about Joe, because that's the guy you got to beat to be on top.
Yeah, yeah. So here's my take with Samoa Joe as AEW World Champion. When he beat MJF at the end of December there, as we closed out 2023, felt like the right move, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of felt like MJF was losing it, you know, whether he leaned into, is he a free agent, whether it was just, you know, he's banged up, he needs some time off anyways. You know, we were a month removed from CM Punk surprisingly showing up at WWE. It felt like Joe was what was needed for AEW. Joe was an anchor, as you said, well-respected. It's like, okay, this is somebody that can kind of let's try to calm the waters here. Sure. Let's get a locker room leader as our world champion. Let's go into 2024. Let's make it a best year possible. And so him as world champion made a lot of sense. And he's credible to the audience. You don't need to explain to anybody Samoa Joe's credentials. It's there. You see it. You know it. But now, as we go into this match tonight on April 21st, AEW's got a lot of credible guys, right? Sure. They have a lot of guys who are credible. But what they don't have, or what they haven't been great at, is really nurturing, pushing, and then letting blossom an organic over babyface. not a heel who's very cool, who does five-star matches, or a heel that, oh my God, it's a great sign and never thought it's like, no, I'm not talking that. I'm talking, let's go back to basics. Let's go back to the roots of pro wrestling and how to make a babyface. Mm-hmm. And you got a babyface in Swerve who, screw the fact that 6 months ago he was home invading Hangman Adam Page's house with his baby. The people want to cheer him. He's over. Whose house is over? The dance is over. His ring work is over. It's clear the people want to cheer him. He's now on the babyface side of the fence, as I always say. You got to run with that. And, you know, we've seen Swerve come up short before. Granted, it was a triple threat. But I think they need to capitalize on Swerve. They need to run with what they have in Swerve. Because if they don't, if he keeps losing, it's people are eventually going to check out. And they've had a real problem, I think, with natural babyfaces being given the ball and really truly running with it.
I have no problem with Samoa Joe being a heel AEW champion. I just want him to be further cemented as a centerpiece where everyone's getting after him. It just can't be just one person. That's my point. Like, if Swerve does not win tonight at AEW Dynasty, doesn't mean that he's ruined. He's not going to take a back seat. Absolutely not. What I'm saying is that Samoa Joe as a heavyweight champion is credible. And I want him to be able to further cement himself as champion where he's an ass kicker and he doesn't need outside interference. He's just the guy to be the dominant guy. Hopefully we'll see that tonight. Now, again, with Swerve, it's built up nicely. It's built up nicely. I would imagine that for title changes, Justin, this could be, you know, bigger pay-per-views. This is a brand new pay-per-view in Dynasty. Maybe we do see new champion. But I'm just saying that Samoa Joe is better to me than a transitional champion. Look at him. Look at the great bouts that he's had. He's more than a transitional champion. Does he need the championship? No. But I think for the stability for AEW, I think it's necessary.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying. Then I guess I would come back to you with, I don't know that if I love Swerve then being this challenger to him these last several months. Because again, I just feel like if Swerve doesn't get the job done, I feel like this is like another babyface again that AEW is not going to have. You know, we've talked about Wardlow in the past. You know, we've seen other guys like, you know, I firmly believe, like, I mean, maybe Joe retains tonight, but how they do it, all right, we're going to do one more with Swerve and Joe. We'll raise the stipulation, raise the stakes, and that's what we do at Double or Nothing.
Sure.
And maybe that's, you know, you're talking about this is a new pay-per-view, obviously Double or Nothing, that's their crowning, you know, that's their one. So, you know, maybe we build to that. And again, if it's done right tonight, the fans still sustain, you know, Joe still looks like a monster. He's the hunted right now. People are coming after him. I feel like a clock is ticking, and I don't want the magic to run out on what we have here with Swerve, and I'm just afraid it's going to run out if they don't give him a big title win here sooner rather than later.
I would agree that at some point Swerve should be heavyweight champion, but on one of their tentpole events, though. There's no rush. Swerve's not going anywhere. No one's going to say, ah, Swerve didn't get it done. Well, we'll put him in the back seat. I don't think that that's their plan. I think that he's the future heavyweight champion, but I don't know if it's going to be tonight. All I know is, like, for Samoa Joe, I think it's important for him to be able to have a big win too. I mean, he's been champion, yes, but give me all those banger matches that he's had since December 31st. Give me those difference-making matches, like, oh my God, did you see? And by the way, as I mentioned, he's a heavyweight champion. He doesn't have to be out there. You don't have to roll him out there every week or every other week. I'm just saying that since he's been champion, can you give me that one match where you're like, my God, he's a great champion? It's not like the Roman run, you know?
No.
It's not even close.
But you talk about you don't think Swerve's going to take a back seat. I guess my concern is, and again, things can change. You can learn, you can change from your past pattern of behavior. But I just feel like even with two primary shows, I'm not counting Rampage, even with Dynasty and Collision, they still have such the roster they have. I feel like if Swerve keeps losing and if Joe moves on to other challengers, I feel like Swerve is going to take a back seat. Not necessarily intentionally of like Tony Khan and his booking team punishing Swerve or having any whatever, but it's just going to be this nature of, oh, okay, we have 2 hours on each of these shows and we have all these different guys and girls we're trying to get TV time, and okay, Joe's going to do challenger. That's my worry, is that is that, you know, maybe accidentally Swerve's going to get moved to the side and it's just going to lose that momentum.
You already booked it, though. You already booked it. You said if
the double or nothing?
If Joel slips past Swerve Strickland, and hopefully, again, in this situation, you don't want it to be a definitive loss. Like, you beat him clean as a sheet. If you get that, then that's a problem, right? Yeah. I guess the reason why that I push back is because I don't know what's next for Joe after Strickland. If there is an after Strickland. Like, I don't, like, there, you and I know the roster of AEW. I just think that this rivalry can extend into May. I think it can for the next show.
If it's done right tonight. If it's done right tonight, I guess to me, though, what's next for Swerve is more important to me than what's next for Joe, because Joe has built in 20-year credibility. Swerve is on that beautiful rise to get to his mountain peak of his career. So that's my whole thing, is like, Joe can lose it. I'm not worried about where Joe goes next. Joe will be fine, whether whatever he does next on Dynasty or Collision, or whether they, I don't love this, but whether he does on the Ring of Honor. Sure. Like, I'm not worried about his next. I'm worried about Swerve's next.
Oh, okay. Well, somehow, somewhere, I feel like Hangman Page will be involved. We haven't heard from him in a while, have we?
Another count he heard from. All right, we'll wait and see.
I mean, we got plenty of time to figure all this out for AEW Dynasty, but I just think it's fascinating right now because, you know, for everyone that talks about what's happening outside of AEW, the politics of AEW, that has nothing to do with the enjoyment of the in-ring effort by the men and women on all the shows, including AEW Dynasty tonight.
Yo, what's going on? This is Bully Ray from Busted Open on SiriusXM's Fight Nation. For 15 years, we've brought you the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. And now, we're bringing you even more. Yo, guys, welcome to Busted Open After Dark. Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation. The only place to party on Wednesday nights is Busted Open After Dark with me, Uncle Bully. Download it on Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, you talk about a promo from the heart, right? I mean, no, it didn't sound like bullet points. It didn't sound like she had to get to a certain level. She just had to relinquish her championship, and it hurt. And you could just tell she's pissed off that she got hurt. Probably the way she got hurt, that's one. But two, that she had to relinquish her championship, because who knew? I don't know if anyone knows when she was going to lose that championship based on the run that she's had.
Yeah, there was no learning lines from a script or manufacturing emotion. That was real. That was raw. First off, it sucks.
Yep.
To have the incredible run that she's been having of over a year to go. I mean, she walks in a WrestleMania champion, walks out of WrestleMania still as champion. For things to have to be dictated of something out of your control, out of her control, out of the booker's control, that sucks. It also sucks because when you have a run that she's had where it's been so dominant, you know, then it does become like, all right, well, who do we slide in to the position champion? I mean, she's been with, again, she's steamrolled over. So it's like, what do we do here? You know, so that's interesting. And it's, you know, I've talked for months, Jay Hood, about how there's this natural, the fans are just gravitating towards her, despite her being in Judgment Day, a heel group, despite her being with Dirty Dom. She's just been getting cheered, but, you know, but they still kept her with Judgment Day. I mean, I don't know about you, but now after that promo she cut on Liv and the situation of her having to vacate the title because of injury, I mean, I feel like that kind of cements the babyface turn when she returns, whenever that is.
I would agree with that. And I also would agree that, in a weird way, this is a blessing in disguise for Liv Morgan, because, as I've told you in weeks past, I really like Liv Morgan when she has an edge. Like, we talk about wrestlers that we can't relate to. I don't know what Liv Morgan has been. Like, I know her who she is in the ring, Justin, but the point is, though, I don't really know who she is. And I think that when she has heel tendencies, when she is able to turn up the volume, she's even more dangerous. The heat will be tremendous on Liv Morgan right now. And if she becomes the new champion, boy, she's going to be booed everywhere. But that's the kind of heat that you want. You took away my mommy. You took away one of the great attractions of WWE because of something in the back, not something that was in the ring. Fans will really be upset at Liv Morgan. And I think that that's a good thing. Everyone mm-hmm. can't walk around with a white hat. But if you have a black hat, it stands out even more so. So if nothing else, yes, it does suck that Rhea Ripley is not going to be on our TV because she's so such a personality for WWE. But this is the step now. This is the moment for Liv Morgan to take it and to be able to be the champion and just get eviscerated by the audience. And that's not a bad thing.
No, that's not. You're right. You know, when she, you know, I interviewed her last year when she was a babyface, and you're right. I mean, her babyface character, to me, at least my interpretation of it, is she is a lifelong super wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. She talks openly about that. And she's living out her dream, going to be a wrestler. But that only takes you so far. You're right. And I she's probably one of the, if you would have gave me the entire women's roster and said, pick one of the babyface ladies to go heel who's going to injure Rhea and put Rhea on the shelf, Liv probably was not top of my list. I probably just didn't think heel in her. Mm-hmm. But this is where we have it at. And to your point, with a little bit of edge and take ownership of this and the story to the fans, this could be the, as you said, the blessing in disguise for Liv's career. And that's all fine and good as long as Rhea can come back healthy, rehabbed, and not be, as long as this injury isn't like a famous injury that derails her career long term. As long as she can come back healthy and rebuilt, this could end up working out, you're right, best for everybody.
Personal issues draw money, Jerry Jarrett. Personal issues draw money. You put her out legitimately. This goes all the way back to Greg Valentine and that famous t-shirt. I think Dave LaGreca owns the t-shirt, one of those t-shirts. I broke Wahoo's leg. Like the whole thing of, hey, you know what? Greg Valentine says, I injured Wahoo McDaniel. I'm wearing a t-shirt. And when Wahoo comes back, boy, he's going to come back with vengeance. Same thing with Rhea Ripley. Whenever she comes back, the first matchup has to be against Liv Morgan. And I mean, going right like a beeline right to Liv Morgan. But I would say that this is her time now, more than ever, Justin. This is her time. Because when she was champion before, the championship made her. Because while she was champion, I was like, what? Like, so what is this? Right? Yes. Like, she's barely getting by these matches. She didn't curry favor with the audience enough as a babyface. I thought that they liked her, but did they love her? I just think that when you have the championship, it's got to be emotion one way or the other from the audience. Either they hate you and it's loud, like Dom, right? Or Solo Sikoa. Or it has to be cheers like Cody Rhodes on that side or Swerve Strickland. It's got to be like that. And I just thought it was kind of two in between. It was murky. It was just like another match when she was champion. But this could be really different for her.
If I'm Liv, start cozying up next to Drew McIntyre catering. Start getting some ideas of how you control the audience. How can you? You know, it's the same thing that Drew's doing to Punk and Punk's fans while Punk's out. Liv, for as long as Rhea's out, however many months it is, keep your foot on the pedal. Keep trolling the fans. Keep reminding them. Keep reminding them who you are. Keep reminding them why they're angry at you. Keep trolling the fans, putting salt in the wound of mommy being out. And I mean, this could be the changing of her career. I mean, and this is a career who, again, like I said, as you said, the title made her when she did win it the one time before. You know, super fan, babyface, I'm happy to be here. Yeah. I think at one point this is during the Eric Rowan carrying a big spider in a cage period of TV. I think at that time they also were like teasing like Liv Morgan being like a lesbian, maybe. Creative hasn't been the best for her, so this might be a chance to finally score a run, even if she got on base accidentally.
Boy, that's some of the worst creative. The I'm happy to be here creative, and it was too much of that across the board in WWE under Vince. And I'm not saying like that was like that every year, but there was always a character where they didn't have anything for them, but just be happy to be here. Well, I mean, you're in the show. Of course I'm happy to be here. I mean, that's
you're
the obvious.
You're a WWE
obvious.
Superstar, damn it.
I'm just happy to be here. It's so great to be around the locker room. It's so great to be, like, I think that's a given. I'm already watching. I'm already locked in. you're happy to be here. I'm happy that I'm watching. Now give me something, right?
I've never seen one guy or girl walk into a wrestling locker room, or at least a guy or girl that's going to go anywhere. We put it that way. I've never seen one guy or girl that's going to go anywhere to walk to the locker room. It's like, eh, damn, I'm just happy to be booked. No, no, you're not. Get out there and entertain the fans and try to get to the next show.
I'm sure that if that ever occurred, that you're not putting him back on a show.
I'm just happy to hear them play Disturbed and me walk to the ring to Disturbed. Like, no.
So, what's your gimmick? I'm just happy to be here. All right. I'm just happy to be booked, Labar. Don't worry about it. I'm at 15 minutes, thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm just happy to be booked. That doesn't work, man. Come on. So at least with this, I'm looking forward to it. And Rhea Ripley, boy, that emotion. We heard some of it there in our rejoin. Just, she didn't want to break down on camera because she's mommy. She's the strength. She is the backbone of the bloodline. And without her, the bloodline will still, I'm sorry, of Judgment Day. She's the backbone of Judgment Day. And so without her, it'll still move on. But when she comes back, boy, it's going to be a huge roar. It's going to be amazing because people love her. They've respected her over the years.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.